Bible, if you would please, this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26. I realize time's getting along quickly this morning. I'll try to do like Brother Tom. I'll try to talk fast and you listen fast, and we'll let you go here in just a little while. I'm just excited about being in church this morning. I'm excited to see you. Again, I thank you for all your prayers this week. Now, this week while I was preaching in India, of course, I had a translator, and so I hope I don't have to have one of those this morning, amen? That makes it kind of tough when you're trying to preach, but of course you have to do that because of the language barrier. But I'm very thankful this morning to be back at home, be back in my home church, my home pulpit. And you pray for them this morning. I've got jet lag, something terrible, and sometimes my mind's working, sometimes it's not. But I want to give you something from the Word of God today that I pray will encourage us and help us. Matthew 26, of course, for a good while now, the last few weeks we've altered from our study in the Gospel of Matthew, but I want to get back to that this morning with the help of the Lord. And we're in chapter number 26, beginning to look at the last days of the Lord Jesus Christ as far as His earthly ministry is concerned and His life here. And when we left you here in chapter number 26, we used verse number 2 where Jesus, we talked about His proclamation. Today I want to begin to look, starting in verse number 3, at the enemy's plot. We understand that, of course, there's an enemy out there, and of course we know that that ultimate enemy is Satan, and he's opposed to anything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and he will do anything that he can today to hinder you from looking to Him and following Him. So I want to look at the enemy's plot as we come down now, again here into the last days of the Lord Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry upon this earth. But I would say this today, I'm glad He's alive. Amen? I'm glad He's alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. I thought about this in this thought as we're going to look at these verses here in chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Then I want you to skip down and look at verses 14 through 16 today and think about the enemy's plot here this morning. With this thought in mind, will we betray Jesus or will we believe Him? Will we betray Him or will we believe Him? That's a question that each of us must answer here this morning. Will you betray Him or will you believe Him? It's all up to you today. We find here today in our text those that would betray Him. So I want you to think about that as we read the text. Give you just a few quick thoughts here this morning. Find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand today out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. Verse number 3 of Matthew chapter number 26. The Bible says, then assembled together. Notice that. Assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, we're going to skip a few verses. We'll come back and talk about these later. But right, and we see in the midst of this betrayal, we find a wonderful story concerning Mary of Bethany in verses 6 through 13. I'll come back and deal with that later, not today. But then drop down in verse number 14, 15, and 16 as we see the betrayal continue. Then verse 14 says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. And he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity, watch it now, watch your Bible, sought opportunity to betray him. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence today to thank You again for this good day, to thank You for this Lord's Day, to thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to be back in Your house today. Lord, we thank You for all that's already been said and done, for the teaching of the Word of God, for the wonderful singing, for Brother Offinger this morning in the report, and Lord, certainly all that You're doing, Father, Lord, in our hearts and our lives and our families, our church and our community now in these days. I pray for just a few moments this morning, God, that You'll touch this body of clay. Lord, I pray You give us strength. I pray you give us discernment. I pray that, God, that you would anoint us and touch us and help us. Lord, to give us some things through the Word of God today that would encourage us and challenge our hearts together, especially for that one that may be here today that's never trusted you as Savior. I pray today would be the good day, Lord, they would come and call upon you for salvation. Lord, help every Christian to search their hearts today. And Lord, help us today that we'd ever follow you. Lord, be what you'd have us to be. We sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments quickly today, I want us to consider here again today in the Jesus' last days in the enemy's plot. Will you and I betray Jesus, or will we believe him and follow him? Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 30, he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Each of us will and must decide who we will believe and follow. We have before us today, as we said in our text, those who chose to plot against the Lord Jesus instead of trusting and following him. Let us choose wisely and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, will we betray him or will we believe him? Again, it's an individual answer that each of us will have to relay unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we've already heard this morning, I didn't know about the articles that Brother Offringer is talking about. I hope to look at those. There's always been opposition by the enemy to come and oppose the things of God. And so we understand that. And we understand that Jesus came and he was born of a virgin. And of course, his ultimate goal is Calvary. And we understand that he's going to be betrayed. But it is sad today that we look around us and there's so many more today around you and I mean, they call it religion. I just come from a country that has religion after religion after religion. But friend, they have no relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, there's a great difference in having religion and having a relationship. I'm glad today that I have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I've got something real in my life. I'm glad I can go back to a day where God forever changed my life because I placed my faith not in a religious organization, not in a religious function, but I placed my faith and my trust and put my soul, thank God, in the hands of the one, thank God, that went to Calvary and bled and died and suffered so that I could have a personal relationship with him, so that I could have a genuine peace, so that I could have joy, so that I could have the promise of eternal life. I'm glad that Jesus come not only to give life and to give eternal life, but I'm glad he come to give an abundant life. The best life you can live today, my friend, is trusting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have in his last days, we have those that are opposing him, those that desire to betray him instead of believe him. Can I say to you this morning, friend, the most important thing that you could do this day or throughout life is trust the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. He still changes lives. He still saves. He still redeems. He still blesses this morning. And friend, he wants to help you today. Don't betray him. Please believe him this morning, my friend. I want to give you a few things quickly about this betrayal. Number one, I want you to notice the plot of the religious leaders. The plot of the religious leaders. We find in their plot, number one, we see their assembly. Their assembly. We see they are in unity against the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Brother Officer has already said this morning, we begin to see those articles come out. Hey, this world's opposed. They're opposed to the things of God. They don't want your children knowing that there's a Redeemer. They don't want your children hearing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want your children and your family to hear the good news of the gospel that still saves and redeems mankind. And so there's always been the opposition. But I'm so glad this morning, thank God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Friend, you just keep trusting God. You just keep believing God. You just keep going for God. I'm telling you, you what, there's coming a payday someday for all that I've been through. There's coming a day where God will reward those that will believe Him and trust Him and follow Him. Thank God, it'll be worth it all. Thank God one day to see our blessed Redeemer. But here, they're standing face to face with the one. Thank God that'll be their judge one day because of their betrayal. Don't betray Him today. Don't turn your back on Him. You better believe Him. So I see the plot this morning here against the Lord Jesus Christ. The plot of the religious leaders. The very ones that you would think that would be for God and not opposed to Him. Could you realize today that a lot of religions are actually opposed to God instead of for Him? They may put out a good picture. They may show forth that what they want to do is to follow God. But in essence, they're against Him. Why? Because they're against His Son. You can't be for God and against His Son. I've already read that here this morning from Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 30. And so we find their assembly. We find that they are united together. We find in this assembly this morning, number one, we find the chief priest. The chief priest, which of course is the Jewish Levitical priesthood. We find the scribes, which is the teachers of the law. We find the elders of the people. And then we find the high priest, Caiaphas himself, of course, who would preside over the Sanhedrin. And certainly, again, their whole deal is to do away with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I'll tell you, that's what the world is still doing today. Now, you can, whether it be in America, whether it be across the world, as long as you don't get involved in their religious beliefs, everything will be all right. But, man, when you begin to deal unto them truth, in other words, what God said, not what they said, not what man wants, but what God says in His Word. Because, again, that's the final authority, is God's Word. Now, you can oppose it all you want to. You can go against it all you want to. But, friend, it'll be unto your own destruction today because this book is right. This book is alive. This book still works. Why? Because it's the living Word of God. And Jesus Himself said, did He not say that He is the Word? And so this morning, friend, they are opposing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His teaching. But notice how they're assembled together. And what makes that interesting today is, number one, I want you to think about it today. I see in there, as they come together to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ in their assembly, I notice their agreement. Now, a lot of times, even here in the Jewish religious system and the ones that we're looking at, a lot of times they were in disagreement about a lot of different things concerning the law and Jewish worship and all the many things, the law and, of course, the Pharisees and all those adding to and all that. I mean, they were in disagreement. But there was one thing that they were in agreement about. And that was that they was going to have to do something about this man by the name of Jesus. They didn't like him. Matter of fact, they hated him. And the world still hates him today, by the way. And friend, I want to tell you something this morning. Are you and I going to betray him or are we going to believe him? Let me give you a little piece of advice right here. You better believe him. You better trust him. But I want you to notice, again, their agreement. We find in their agreement, they're agreed to this. Number one, to take Jesus by subtlety. That word subtlety simply means to trick or to deceive or deceit. You know who that's a tactic of this morning? That's a tactic of the devil himself. Is that not what he done back in the book of Genesis? As you go back and study about Eve there in the garden, how did he come to her? Hey, he's full of tricks. He's full of deceit. He will do anything that he can to trick and to deceive from the things of God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, God's Word is still true. God's Word will stand. Thank God when this world's on fire, I'm glad today, thank God, His Word is true and you and I can trust Him. But it's amazing in their agreement, we find that they want to take Jesus by subtlety, to deceive, to trick Him. And that's just exactly what religion will do when you come against organized religion. That's the way Satan uses that. Not only does he try to, they try to take Jesus by subtlety in their agreement, but again, their ultimate goal is to kill him. They hated him so much that they wanted to do away with him. And do you understand today, as far as Christianity is concerned, a lot of people want to kill it. A lot of people want to stamp it out. I'm glad, thank God, God has a remnant. I'm glad that, thank God, he come to seek and to save that which was lost. He come to change our hearts, our lives, our eternity today. And by the way, it's the only thing that still works, even though the enemy comes against it. I believe you'll find if you study your Bible real closely that especially studying about the early church, the more that opposition come, the more they grew. Because in that aspect of thinking today, those that are true will stand. Amen? They will stand. I would hope today if the opposition comes against us that we would truly stand for the things of God. Now, it's not always easy to stand. There's always going to be persecution to those that stand. There's going to be opposition to those that stand. But don't let those around us come against us to the point that we would betray our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you'd be ashamed of me, I'd be ashamed of you. I don't want to be ashamed of him today. I want to lift him up. I want to live for him. I want to promote him. I want to preach him. I want to sing about him. I want to teach about him. I want to let this world know, thank God, there's nobody in my life like the Lord Jesus today. He's the one we need to look to and trust. But notice in this plot, there is the agreement. Not only is there an agreement, but then I want you to notice their anxiousness. Their anxiousness, their worry. You find that in verse 4, we find their agreement. Verse 5, we find their anxiousness. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, who were they worried about? Their anxiousness, their worry. It wasn't about God. They weren't worried about him and what he thought, but they were worried about the people. They feared the people. Is that what the Bible says? I'm afraid in our Christian lives we've had it so good. We've been so blessed that we think that we have to scour down. Preacher, people are opposed. People talk about us. People don't want anything to do with Christianity. So therefore, we must stay quiet. We must not do anything. Friend, I'll tell you what, we ought to do right the opposite. We ought to stand up and do all that we can, even though there's an enemy out there against us. I come from a country that you think you've got it rough when it comes to Christianity. Christianity is under attack. Some of you, I didn't tell this before I left, but I'll tell you now. There's a pastor from Tennessee that is detained in India right now. They took his passport and will not let him out of the country. They kept him in jail for 6 days under horrid conditions. And took his passport, and now will not let him leave the country until he goes through Indian court system. Why? All for upholding the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we think somebody talks about us, we think if somebody looks at us a little funny, we're ready to quit. I mean, I see it in ministry all the time. People just ready to throw up their heads and quit church, quit God, quit their Sunday school class, quit singing in the choir. You ask them why? Well, there's no really apparent reason. Somebody might have said something. Somebody might have done something. Friend, I wouldn't be in ministry today if I let everybody, if I feared the people more than I feared God this morning, then I'd probably quit a long time ago. But there's one this morning, thank God, that I fear. There's one that I reverence today, and his name is Jesus. It's not the people. It's not the government. But it's the one, thank God, that's seated on the throne that has all power this morning. Thank God, don't get anxious because of the people of this world. Thank God, we got one that is greater today, and we ought to look to him and trust him. Don't betray the Lord Jesus. Just believe him today. Amen. Notice they're in their plot. We find today, not only do we find their assembly, we find their agreement, but then we see their anxiousness. They feared the people more than they feared God. Of course, the word anxious means to worry. Now, Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That needs to be the one that we fear today, is the one that has the power. And could I say today, friend, he doesn't want anybody to perish without him. The Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you betray him today, or will you believe him? Not only do I see their agreement, and do I see their anxiousness, but again, I see their assembly. Secondly, today, first of all, we see the plot of the religious leaders. Secondly, today, I want you to think quickly for just a moment with me of the plot of the rebel. Notice in verses 14 through 16, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will ye give me? What will ye give me?" Think about Judas now. We have the plot of the enemy. The one who had, for almost 3 to 3.5 years, had walked with him, had talked with him, had heard him preach and teach, had seen him touch those that were sick and heal them. I mean, feed the multitudes. And yet, chose to betray him. Just because you're seated on a church pew doesn't mean that you're believing him. Oh, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, are you believing him to the point that you've entrusted your eternal soul to the only one, thank God, that can save you and redeem you today? You're either believing him or you're betraying him. Now we see the plot of the rebel. So sad in our society that those that call themselves rebels are upholded by this world. They are. I mean, they want you to act like a rebel, walk like a rebel, talk like a rebel, and dress like a rebel. Bible does teach us something like this. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But notice we have a rebel here in the Scriptures this morning by the name of Judas Iscariot. We see the plot of the rebel. The word rebel simply means one who rises in opposition. And that's the very person here of Judas Iscariot. Notice number one, in the plot of the rebel, I see his position, as we've already said. One of the 12, Jesus chose him and loved him. But he never chose Jesus. A lot of people have the question, well, Judas was part of the 12. Why did Jesus choose him? Knowing that he was the son of perdition, knowing that he was the one that would betray him. Because Jesus wants to choose us all. See, he's no respecter of persons. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in his sight. It doesn't make no difference where you've been. Doesn't make any difference what you've done. Doesn't make any difference what you've been a part of. God loves you today. Jesus sent his son so that you could forever be redeemed and know him as your Savior today. But friend, Judas had every opportunity to choose the Lord Jesus Christ, and he chose to betray him. Yes, there would be a son of perdition. Yes, there would be one that would betray him. We understand that. And in the economy, in the mind of God, he's sovereign. He knows all things. But Judas had every opportunity to get right with God and chose not to. Do you understand today that there's people all around us, and you might be one of those very ones today. You've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get right with God, but you choose not to. Well, preacher, I would never sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Some people sell him a lot cheaper than that. Are you with me? Everybody all right? Everybody awake? Are you glad you're here? You ought to be. I flew 19 hours. Was up for 2 days just to get here this morning. I'm glad I'm here. Preacher, you didn't have to go. No, but somebody needed to go. Somebody needs some help. Some youngins need to get some food so that somebody could give them the Word of God so they might hear about the one that loved them enough to die for them and redeem them by His good grace. I'm telling you, God's work is the greatest work that's taking place. I don't want to betray my Master. I want to believe Him today. But here's Judas. We see his plot. He's the son of perdition. We see this morning in Judas, we find not only his position, but then I want you to see his plot in verse 15. We find his position being one of the 12. We find his plot in verse 15. He said unto them, notice he goes to the chief priests. They don't come to him. They already looking for a way to get rid of Jesus. That's the way the devil works. He'll find anybody he can, influence anybody he can, to fall into his trap of deception. And they've got it in a man by the name of Judas. Notice his plot. I'll give you three things about his plot. Number one, I want you to notice the sinister act. He goes to the chief priest. Nobody tells him to. He does it on his own. Friend, you have a choice. You can blame anybody else you want to today, but what you do, you're responsible for. Well, preacher, mom and daddy, or this person. Or that. Friend, at the end of the day, you're responsible for your own actions. You make your own choices. It's kind of like that old country saying is, you make your bed, but remember, you're going to have to lay in it. And notice Judas here in his plot. Notice his sinister act. He goes to the chief priest and says, I will deliver him. Notice, not only do I see in the sinister act, I see his selfishness. His selfishness. Notice, back in verse 15, what will you give me? Now try to get in your mind today the very act that's taking place here. Yes, Jesus has got to go to the cross. And yes, we see everything coming down to the end as far as his ministry is concerned here in his life. And Judas asked this question, what will you give me? What will you give me? I see not only his sinister act, but I see his selfishness. That's the problem with so many people today. They want to know what they can get, not what they can give. Think about that. What is it that I can get, not what I can give? Now, we're talking about Jesus here. And Judas walking with him and talking with him and seeing him perform the miracles. Brother Scotty, I thought about it as I come in on the end of that lesson this morning, and you were talking about Pharaoh and how the death of the firstborn, even there in Egypt, didn't change his heart. Could I say this morning that death won't even change people anymore? Brother Randy, you see it all the time. Not even death seemed to change people. Don't even seem to tender their heart, maybe for just a little while. Judas knew Jesus was true. He was genuine. And who he said he was, because he'd done everything that he said he would do. But we see his selfishness got in the way. I would say even to the saved this morning, if we're not careful, we let selfishness. Oh, preacher, I would never betray. I would never betray Jesus like Judas did. Some of us wouldn't give our tithes and our offerings. Oh, there goes that preacher on money again. Preacher, you said you weren't going to take no. Preacher, time's getting on. Can't you hurry? Or we expect somebody else to do all the church work, not do any ourselves. Well, it's good that those people are going up there to the Good News. I'm glad some people from our church are going up to the Good News Club. What about you? Preacher, I just don't have time. I don't have time to come to Sunday school. I don't have time to come to preach. I don't have time to come to Wednesday night service. There'll be a day you wish you had time. We let our selfishness sell out the Lord Jesus. Oh, my. I wish I had my voice back where I could preach. Man, nothing will dry you out no long. Nothing no worse than being on a plane for 19 hours. I got jet lags about, I don't know what my name is right now. Well, preacher, why don't you just sit down and hush? Because I got a job to do. I come to lift him up. And let you know, let's not betray him. Let's believe him and follow him today. I see his plot. Number one, I see his sinister act. He's already got it in his heart and his mind to betray Jesus. Number two, I see his selfishness. What will you give me? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus will give you. He'll give you the greatest gift you could ever get. But then I notice the sale in his plot. 30 pieces of silver. Brother Offringer, for 30 pieces of silver, he not only sold out the Lord Jesus Christ, but he sold out his own soul. You know what 30 pieces of silver was during this time? It was the price of a slave. For the price of a slave, he betrayed Jesus. That was the sale. I see not only his plot, but I see his peril. He's called the son of perdition by Jesus himself. See, in his peril, he doomed his own soul. How did he doom his own soul? By the rejection. The word perdition means to ruin, or it means destruction. He sold out his own soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Judas sold his for 30 pieces of silver. People are selling out to the drugs, to the alcohol, to the sexual immorality, to the sin of this world, when they could have Jesus. Hey, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. But lastly, today, not only do I see his plot and his sinister act, his selfish act, the sale and his peril, but then I want you to think about closing today, the plan of the Redeemer. See, understand, through all of this betrayal, it was in the plan of the Redeemer. And the reason I say that this morning is this. The plan of the Redeemer was being fulfilled. The plan of the Redeemer was to come and to die that I might live and that you might live. But see, it's all up to you and I. Will we betray him or will we believe him? Preacher, is it that simple? It sure is. Will you plot against him? Or will you be determined to follow him? Moses says this at Exodus 32 and 26. He asks a question. Who is on the Lord's side? Can you say today with all your heart that you're on the Lord's side? I said, could you ask yourself a question? Who is on the Lord's side? Could you say, I'm on the Lord's side? Well, that means you want to follow him. You want to believe him and not betray him. Let me give you this one other verse and I'm done. Brother Scott, go ahead and come get a song of invitation. Joshua 24:15, Joshua says this, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who will you serve today? Will it be the God of this world? Will it be the material things of this world? Will it be the crowd of this world? See, those religious leaders weren't worried about God, they were worried about the people. We can't do this during the Passover. It's amazing to me that God, he done away with that because you know what? You know when he died? During the Passover. They didn't have no control on him. Boy, about makes me want to run a lap. Jet lag and all. Because the enemy had no power over him. Then, nor now, nor ever. The enemy is a pawn in his hand. A pawn in his hand. The ultimate winner is him. Have you chosen who you're going to serve? Have you betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver or less? Do you know him today as Savior? Friend, if you don't, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Judas says, what will you give me? Jesus had the greatest gift in the world to give him. And he rejected that gift and chose to betray the Savior. God help us to receive the gift. Believe the Savior and follow him and stand to our feet. Father, I sure do love you today. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Ghost of God. I thank you today that you're worthy of my praise and my adoration. I thank you today that, Lord, we can either put our eyes on the crowd or on ourselves. Lord, we can put it on you. I pray you'd help us to believe you and to follow you. Lord, I pray you take the invitation right now. Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. Everybody in this building may be saved today, and I pray that they are. But if they're not, I pray today would be the day that they come and bow and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I pray today if there be one among us that's strayed and maybe sold out the life and the plan that you had for them. May they come today and get right with thee. And get back on track with you. Help us that we not betray you, but help us that we would believe you. Take the invitation and use it. Father, we'll praise you and thank you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray.